You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
So, man, I don't know about you guys, but of all the times that you said to yourself, I wish I'd gone home. I wish I'd gone home this weekend instead of just hanging out in the city with my friends. Oh, I have, you know, got such feelings of guilt about this. This movie makes you realize you kind of made the right decision. What do you guys say?
I feel that way, too. I feel like somehow walking into your parents' divorce is worse than walking into them doing other things. Definitely not what you want to see when you go home.
It's definitely less than ideal. That's for sure. And I'm definitely excited to talk about divorce with you guys on this wonderful Thursday night.
Exactly. I can't think of a better way of spending a Thursday night than this after a long day at work. Yeah, totally. But yeah, we should introduce ourselves, shouldn't we? I'm Frank.
I'm Adrian.
And this is Ryan.
And we're talking about Hope Gap, which is this new British indie drama starring the wonderful Annette Bening, who's as, you know, great as ever, Bill Nye, and I believe it's Josh O'Connor. And this is largely a three-character piece. Takes place in this, seaside town. I forget what it's called. Anyway, it's in the north of England. And basically, can you guys describe this? Because I'm coming on blanks here. And it's such a simple plot, but I can't remember the ins and outs of it.
So basically, it's about an older couple who have been married for about 29 years. Bill Nye being the husband, Annette Bening being the wife. And Annette Bening, though they may fight every now and then, she thinks, well, you know, we'll get over it and we'll make things work because we love each other. And we've been in love for 29 years. As it turns out, though, she's been very in love with Bill Nye. Bill Nye has been just kind of hanging around, too nervous to say that he's been wanting to leave for a good while. But now that he has found a new woman who he is very much in love with, he decides this is the best time to do so, especially while our son is visiting us.
It's sort of accidental the way it's sort of laid out, In a way, it's sort of accidental. In a way, it's also methodical, but sort of, you know, seeing this man who's just, you look at him and he's like the shell of a person because he's tried, he's gone through the motions. You can tell that he's the type of man, he has got so much integrity that he's willing to work at a marriage. And, but yeah, and on the flip side, there's her and what's her name? Grace, I think her name is in this film. And you could tell that Grace has spent she's at this place right now where she believes things are okay, but on another level, she knows that they're not. And she keeps on sort of pushing him to sort of get a reaction, just a jolt of life, to get something back from him. And when she doesn't, it just throws her for a loop.
Yeah, and that's something that kind of surprised me, that this film, I feel like they introduced us to the conflict so early on and kind of resolved it and had them separate really early on. And that definitely kind of surprised me, but it was a little bit refreshing that they didn't spend so much time building up to it. And they just kind of hit you right in the beginning. I kind of appreciated that.
I did as well, because it's so often the case where you, when you start a movie, you start at the beginning of a relationship and sort of go on that sort of journey of the relationship forming. And even if it's a long-term marriage, you see it's a part of the journey and the journey continuing. Here's the end of the relationship, and that's where we start. And two people who have defined themselves largely by this relationship that, now have to define themselves in other ways. And that's the jumping off point, and that's the basis of these new characters. And I like that. I think that is refreshing a lot, in a lot of ways.
I'm also glad it opened up that way, because I'll be honest, the first, I would say, 20 minutes of this hour, 40-minute movie, I was finding it really hard to get mm-hmm. into and to just kind of pay attention to just the movie.
Yeah.
But as it went along is when it started to really, really start working for me. And it's because it explores that thing about divorce that I feel like not a lot of movies go into. And it's where do you go on from now? Like, how do you kind of restart your life? Especially at the age that Grace is at.
Well, yeah, exactly. Never expected to have to restart your life at that point. You know, everything was sort of, not pre-planned, but it was sort of determined, and it was understood that, you know, you were going to live out your life the rest of your days with this person in this home. And now that isn't necessarily the case. And that's a huge life adjustment, and even just mentally. But I think you guys are right. The beginning of this film, until I found out it was based on a play, I thought, God, this is so, it's almost like she's like reciting Shakespeare in a way. There's so much like bravado and, you know, that tragic heroine sort of mystique about her. And he's so like, you know, he's never in the same frame as her almost. And he's like off to the side and he's never looking her in the eye. And it's like, this is very stagey, not just because it's two people in one location, but just in the way that they're placed. And, but I like that because this has been their world, for years and it is falling apart. But I think it's not just the story of a couple, it's really the story of a family. And I love that we didn't have, and I expected him to be a peripheral character. The character of mm-hmm. Jamie, played by Josh O'Connor, their son, I thought he was going to be like in the background. Some chick told him to divorce, say, oh, God, get over it and just go back to him, go back to her. You know, just, you know, blah, I got my own life. Now, he's really a central figure in this film as well. And I loved, you know, as a child of divorce myself, even though I was much younger when my parents divorced, I loved how the film showed how it affected mm-hmm. him, even in his however old he is. I love that, you know, he really was feeling like the loss and the pain as well, and the sort of like confusion about the whole thing.
Yeah, and I feel like that's not something, at least like something that I've seen a whole lot. And also as a child of divorce and somebody who went through this, like at, I think, a similar age, like honestly, like 4 or so years ago, I was a little bit older when I went through my parents going through a divorce, and just kind of, I definitely could kind of relate to that whole, like him being this mediator, and in some ways him at times just straight up being their therapist and like having to like console them. But and it really makes you look at your parents in a different way. And I kind of felt that they portrayed this like pretty well through this character, and just having to be able to, it's a difficult position to be in, to have to give your parents, who you've always seen as these wiser figures, like having to kind of come down to a lower level and help them and be able to relate to them.
They become flesh and blood humans. You know, and it really does change your perception of them and your view of them. That they, you know, the two people that you've gone to for all the answers in life now are struggling for answers themselves. It's shocking no matter what age it is that it happens to you.
If I can jump in, I really didn't think that this was going to be a movie for me. I mean, even from like the little bit I watched of the mm-hmm. trailer, it felt like the type of movie that your parents or grandparents might see at a matinee. And you're seeing it because you know Annette Bening and you love Bill Nye. But it was midway through that it hit me like, oh.
That's why I wanted to watch it.
Actually, me too. And it wasn't until halfway through that it hit me like, this really, really feels like a play. And the reason I was feeling that way is because the dialogue is just so good. All these scenes are just
really
completely
good.
Driven by dialogue.
Yeah, and that's really testament to the to William Nicholson, the writer director, who I was looking him up before this, and this is such a departure. I mean, this is the this guy wrote, my gosh, Gladiator. I mean, come on, Elizabeth the Golden Age, Les Misérables. I mean, Everest. I mean, this is like. Nell. He wrote Nell. how do you go from Nell to writing this? But he did, and it's a real testament to him, because this is such a character piece, and it is very rich in characters.
I don't have a lot of negative things to say about this, as I thought I kind of might. In fact, it really impressed me how much it grabbed me as it went along. I'm not going to spoil anything, of course, but there's a scene probably like in the last third of the movie where Annette Bening is talking to her son, and he's just kind of explaining how he's not really sure how to help her. And that entire scene with them, that completely made the movie worth watching for me.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's so true. It's so true to life. When you see somebody that means that much to you, that is such a part of you, who's so clearly in pain, so clearly suffering, and you don't have a band-aid, you don't have any answer for them. Literally all you can do is stand next to them and watch them be in pain. And yeah, that's agonizing. And that's such a, that's a really great scene. That's such a real, true moment, I think, in this. And I really, again, like, no spoilers, but what do you guys think of the ending?
I liked it.
Right. Okay. Cool. Yeah. No. Because I'm a big fan of movies that have the guts to have a life goes on, sort of like open ended. What, you know, I think I have a couple of friends that call it like the Pleasantville type of ending, where you know you don't have anything like really clear cut, you know, tied up neatly with a bow. And I think there's some movies that those are the only way you can end them, you know, story wise. And I think this is one of those.
I think the film makes it very clear how the story ends for these characters in a way. And you don't really have to think about what happens in the future. Their conflict is done. And it was a really nice bow around this pretty well put together package. I personally do think so. If I have like one complaint or grievance about this film, is I'm not sure if maybe Annette Bening and Bill Nighy were the cast in the original play, but was there no British actress?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking that. Gosh, you have, like, I was thinking to myself, and I'm the kind of like cinema nerd that would remember this, but I thought when I was watching her in some of her long, you know, sort of speechy scenes, I thought, you got nominated for an Oscar for playing a British actress, the theater stage actress in like World War I era. But man, I can hear the California in you, like, God, you just can't shake it this time around, can you?
Yeah.
It really goes in and out from being an accent that's, you know, like very proper to being like, I'm sitting on the docks and watching the boats go by. Like she couldn't really hold it the whole time. And it was extremely distracting at some points.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have minded seeing Helen Mirren in this. I think that would have been
fine. I was going to say, Helen Mirren not available somehow?
Yeah. Well, maybe she wasn't. I don't know. But you know, she's pretty busy. She works a lot. But yeah, I that did take me out of it just a little bit. And I had to when things like that happen, I just had to make up something in my head, like, oh, well, she probably moved there when she was in her teens and just never went home, or something, you know, something to just excuse it, so I can just like not, you know, focus on it, because I will. But I will also say, we were talking about Annette Bening because she does have the flashier of the three roles here. But Bill Nighy, who's largely, you know, not, I don't want to say silent, but he is just very sort of in the background. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a very, very quiet role for him. And I found that really refreshing. I always find it refreshing if you could, I think a really great actor giving a really great performance, at least on film, you'll be able to, like, you know, mute the screen, and their physicality will tell you everything that you need to know about their character, which is what they're going through, what their journey is. And I think that's true with him. There's so much about just the way he moved, the way he stood, the way he looked, that showed that this was a broken man who felt the pain of what he was doing and felt that, you know, he wouldn't do this unless he felt it was the right thing to do for him and for her.
Yeah, just that cold, sort of disaffected demeanor that he had throughout the whole film, I also thought was really powerful. Definitely a little bit different than like the type of roles that he usually plays, but I mean, I thought it really worked for this particular role.
He's got such a broken down quality to him.
I'm used to seeing Bill Nighy as someone who's not really threatening, but is a powerful voice in whatever room he's in, and to see this like really soft, wounded side of him was really great. I thought he did a fantastic job in this.
Yeah, and especially just you could really feel the power dynamic, especially in the very beginning when he had to tell her that he was leaving her. Just you could just sense like his fear, and just he was almost like making himself smaller. And like Annette Bening, and just in those earlier scenes, just felt so much bigger and like more powerful. And I felt like his nervousness and his fear when he had to tell her that he was leaving her.
And his despair as well. I mean, there's that line. He's like, I have tried for 29 years. And, you know, you get that this isn't an easy decision for him to do. It's not in his nature to want to break his wife's heart, to break anyone's heart like this. And I don't know. I feel sympathy easily. So maybe that's just me.
I think we could go down to our final, what's it called?
Final thoughts? Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Let's get started.
All right. Well, as I mentioned, the first 20 minutes of this movie, not really liking it. Bill Nighy, you could tell he's just this shell of a man. Meanwhile, Annette Bening is like the Hulk and throwing tables, and it goes into something that's much more than just I need to tell my wife that I want a divorce. It goes into what happens after. It goes into religion. It goes into thoughts of how can you live a life that you think is not worth living. And it treats all these subjects extremely well. And I think it's because it was at one point a play. It's entirely driven by dialogue. And all the dialogue is really, really well written, as well as well delivered by all three of the main actors. With my few grievances of Annette Bening kind of losing her accent every now and then, or sounding just kind of silly. I really liked this movie. I was surprised how much I liked it. And it's one that I would definitely say is worth watching. I know it. I think I just saw it on Amazon. Give it a rent. You'll like this. If you like dramas that are... If you like movies that feel like plays, if you like dramas that are dialogue-driven, and if you are okay with exploring divorce, check this out. This is a great movie. I would give this 4 cups of tea out of 5.
And what say you?
I totally agree. I definitely went into this not really expecting a whole lot, and I think it is absolutely worth watching. It is a lot. It's a much smaller, more like character focused piece. And I know that we've had like a couple big films surrounding divorce, like Marriage Story, in the past couple years. And I think this, I found this interesting because it explores like a different demographic, and it's also more like about the aftermath of what happens, and it gets into it so early, and it's just kind of about like how these characters in this late stage of their life, like how do they pick up the pieces and how do they keep going. And also like I thought Josh O'Connor, who plays their son Jamie, was really great in just playing this character who has to be like this mediator, kind of their therapist in a lot of ways, and their this go-between. And I thought it was refreshing and really, really interesting film that I definitely recommend checking out. I would give it 7 out of 10 flip tables.
Yeah, really everything that's been echoed here, including Annette Bening's accent, I have to agree with. This was it's such a surprise, such a treat. I love films that are about characters and really good dialogue and people talking about, really talking about who they are. And it's, you know, I love when a writer's more concerned with that than moving the plot along. And this film does that. And I think it is because of its stage origins. I gotta say, this also really, as the, I'm a child of divorce, I'm also the only child in of that divorce. And so I get that being your parents' therapist and having to be the go-between, delivering messages, and when one is angry at the other, you hear about both sides, and you're like, it's enough to drive up the wall. So yeah, this cut really close to the bone for me. And in fact, when I was watching this, my mom texted me saying, "Did you get that package of face masks I sent you?" I'm like, "Yeah, I got them." But you know, it's like, geez. So, and you know, you never really stop being a kid of divorce, even though, you know, my parents are in a much better place than these two people are. But you know, even that being said, this is a very cathartic movie. It's also a very, very beautiful movie in terms of just the acting, but also visually. I love that they filmed this. Where did they film this? Do you guys, anybody like recognize that? Anybody been to England recognize that?
I'm not 100% sure.
No, and I feel it bad for not looking that up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I lived in London, but I haven't been to, and I've been to some part of the seaside in that country, but I've not know. Oh, okay. It says, in East Sussex, in Seaford, mm-hmm. East Sussex. Man, it was glorious. It was, yeah, this is a quiet film, but it's one which is very rich and gives you a lot. It's a kind of early summer indie that I love this time of year when these types of little gems will show themselves. I think this is one of them, even with Annette Bening's wavering accent. So I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 dogs you name after your ex-husband.